We're joined today by Deb Taylor, a guru in Indy's real estate. She's been around for quite some time in the real estate industry, and she just opened her own boutique real estate brokerage. And that's a lot harder for me to say than it is for most people to say, but you have to listen. Deb has tremendous information. She is a phenomenal agent, and I think you'll really enjoy the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritman's NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold's NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold, and we're both with Advisors Mortgage Group. And reminder to check out all of our podcasts, and if you can't catch this whole interview, which is going to be phenomenal, go to Indy's Real Estate Gurus. And if you have any questions about anything, just feel free to email us or go to our website at hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That is hardworkingmortgageguys.com.
Deb, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it very much.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
I've had you on the show before. It's a long time ago.
Yes.
And when you look at your numbers and how well you've done, you're phenomenal. You're doing a phenomenal job. You have a phenomenal business. It's just unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's exciting to have opened up this brokerage. I've had the honor and pleasure of working with some very talented real estate agents who were willing to share and mentor. And that's what's brought me to where I'm at today. Yeah. So it's been quite a journey. And I'm excited for what we're facing right now.
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting market. All our markets. I mean, every time I talk to you, you have a good attitude. You're always upbeat. You're always excited. And that's important. And it's no matter what market it is, there's ways that you can help people.
Exactly. No matter what the market is, you're always going to have someone who needs to sell their house for various reasons and someone who needs to buy for various different reasons. And that's true in any kind of market. So the people who got into real estate who thinks, oh, it's easy, I can do this, if they can, then the down markets, they don't know how to sell or, you know, what they need to do as far as being strategic and with their buyers and making their offers and so forth.
Right.
So there's a lot to be learned through the years, but it's not as easy as everybody thinks. There's all kinds of obstacles and there's all kinds of things that you don't think about that they don't show you on HGTV.
Yeah, so. That's funny. The HGTV does, you see how many houses and then...
Well, yeah, on House Hunters, which is, you know, a show that probably almost everybody has seen, and including myself, and it is fun, and they show you three homes and you make a decision. No.
I think when I looked for, because I bought my first home in 2015, I think I looked at probably about 10 or 12 homes. So, yeah, and it was still a lot of this one or that one or sort of deals. And you still don't know if you get it because you never know if your offer's accepted.
Exactly, yeah. And this was a little bit crazier market that we were in. It has changed, but it's still a good market. Now, a lot of times you're going to hear, especially right now, the comparison to the 08 crash. The biggest difference in 08 versus now, the mortgage industry or the appraising was done differently. Mortgage was done differently. That's been corrected, thank God. But in 08, there was just a flux of inventory. And we are still in an inventory shortage. So it's still a good seller's market. It's not going to happen as fast as it was. You're not going to have 10, 15, 20 offers. And yes, that did happen. That you were up against. So it was very defeating. But all those buyers out there that didn't get a home, who got, defeated in offers, are going to still be needing a home. And they're not going to have that competition that they had. So it's an excellent market to take advantage of right now.
Right.
You just need someone who can guide you through it.
So I know Rick's met you before and everything. So how did you actually get into being a realtor?
Well, I had my own training and development company where I worked with teams and helping them learn how to communicate better and take it to top notch. And as in any kind of down market, whenever there's training and develop, they're the first to be cut. And so from that, I decided I'd go into real estate in 08.
Yeah, but, perfect market
exactly.
in 08.
But you know what? It's a great time to learn through that because, one, there's not as many realtors out there as there is today, and there will be less in the coming year probably than there was in the right. beginning of the year because it's not easy. Especially in a down market, you've got to be very strategic. You've got to learn how to sell. And if there's different avenues you're going to have to take, how do I sell bankruptcies, those type of things. So it's not just something you just come in and show a few homes and you're done. How are you going to set yourself apart from other agents that are out there? And they're going to be hungry too. So you're still going to be competing. And that's what I like to separate myself from. So my expertise was in communications, so I know how to talk with people. I never will forget a story where I was calling on someone who had an expired selling, and it was a beautiful home. You know, it was in Boone County, you know, acreage, pool, everything. And I asked him, I said, well, why do you think it didn't sell? And he goes, that's a great question. I haven't heard from my realtor in 6 months.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And that is a true story. So,
that's crazy.
Yes.
Yes. That's definitely. Somebody who doesn't understand the business. They think you just put a sign up and it sells.
Exactly. And there's so much more. Now, are there realtors out there and companies who specialize just in that? There are. But that's not who I am, and that's not the company that I'm building now is. I'm right. all about quality and service. Whether it's a buyer or a seller, it is a huge investment. It's probably the biggest investment most people make in their lifetimes. And it's an honor for me to get to work with people like that, to help them through it. Whether it's your first home or your fifth home, you still need someone guiding you through it because there's so much to think about. And not just the selling, you know, the safety, you know. Are you comfortable with people going through your home? You know, a lot of people thought with this last market, well, I can sell it myself, until they actually realized what they were up against. And it's not just the selling part. Yes, you finally get an offer. Great, it's a great offer. And then you have the inspection. How does that go? Mm-hmm. And the inspections I've seen make and break sales.
Right.
And as I remind, from working with the buyer or the seller, everything is negotiable. We're not going to go after everything. You know, we're going to meet in the middle sometimes. So.
Yeah, and it is. Everything is negotiable. And like you said, if you're trying to sell it on your own, you have the inspection can create all kinds of problems. The appraisal can create problems. I've always liked to have that person like you in the middle of it so I don't have to deal with it.
Exactly.
I want somebody who knows what they're doing. Because the reality is, as a buyer or a seller, you are emotionally involved in it.
Yes.
And you need somebody who is not, who knows what they're doing, who will give you honest, accurate advice and guidance.
My number one job is to protect you. Here's an example of how a realtor did not protect their client. I was actually helping him relocate here, and his own real estate agent, they said there was a water problem in the basement and that there was running water. And I asked him, I said, well, have your water bills gone up? No, they're exactly the same. Okay, are there water markings, that's shown, anything? Nope. But his realtor didn't fight for him in that particular instance, and it cost him $5,000. There is absolutely no way I would have let that go.
Right.
That's someone who wasn't protecting their client. Now, it wasn't even in Indiana, but it can happen. You need someone who's going to look out for you no matter what it is. And what do you fight for? What don't you? And exactly like you said, it's very personal to the seller. Maybe they've brought their kids up there. They have all these treasured memories. You know, it's personal and it hurts. And they want to defend it. And sometimes we have to help them let go.
Right.
And pick your fight. What are we going to go for? Get you through it. Get to the closing table. And then people can relax.
Right. Well, it's almost any time you're selling the house. I'm trying to think of all the situations people sell houses. And almost every single one of them has a lot of emotion attached.
Yes.
I can't think of any that don't. You know, if you're getting divorced and selling your house, there's a lot of emotion attached.
Yes.
We had to sell my parents' house. There was a lot of emotion attached. Even though my parents didn't have the emotion attached because, a
right.
situation, the family had their emotions attached. So pretty much every situation requires somebody who is, it's not that you aren't emotional, but you're not you're able to step back and help people see the bigger picture,
yes,
not that detail.
Exactly. And that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help you and guide you each step as we go. You know, through, you know, we get the offer. What's the best offer? Sometimes the highest offer, believe it or not, is not the best offer. I saw this time and again, especially with investors who were, you know, who were just in the market huge this summer, buying up homes that they're going to rent. And they would offer a great offer. But then in inspection time, they'd nickel and dime you.
Oh, okay.
So, and then, you know, especially, and some of the poor folks who got hit with that were trying to do it on their own. And usually they're not fighting for anything. So they just say, okay, whatever, we'll go with this. And it could cost them a lot of money.
Because they don't know any better.
You know, that comes off their bottom line. So
right.
Yeah, you can, you know, do it on your own. Most people, what they find is they have lost money by not using a realtor. Either they didn't negotiate properly or they lost money on the, inspections, or they're using a company where they come in and they, you know, will make you an offer and it's going to be really good. And you decide, you know, you can't get out of it without paying quite a bit. And there's a lot of hidden fees. So that initial offer may look good, but it's not always the best one for you.
And this just really gets into, an average person might buy 2 to 3 homes on average in a whole entire lifetime.
Yes.
Where, all right, so you only see that transaction a few times, where you've seen these transactions countless times.
Yes.
So you're ready, if something does come up, you're able to have an objection to it and a solution to that.
That's what we do. I've always been someone who, if there's a problem, there's a solution. I'm a fixer. That's good and bad. But anyway, you know, but there are things. One thing that I want to do is bring in the experts. When we get an inspection that's really bad, like the instance on the plumbing and the water meter and all that, you know, you bring in somebody who can say, look, we've had this tested. There isn't anything. I can show you bills for 6 months in a row. There wasn't any increase in the water. You know, there was, you know, those type of things. So you can have it on paper.
Right.
And then you have to watch the dates like crazy because, you know, each contract, there's a certain amount of time you have to get that. Well, you better be watching those dates because you don't want that to go by, because then you've just accepted whatever it is. But you can always ask for an extension, whatever, and you've put that in the contract also that you've accepted. So you can get the experts in, get the solution, and then you can present it with figures, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and it helps to have somebody who has the knowledge and the experience, because you have the people who you can bring in,
yes,
to walk that through, and people you trust and that you've worked with, so you know it's going to happen. Plus, you keep track of the detail to make sure that you don't miss. Because I have had customers where they miss the date.
Yes, and that's I double check, triple check, I have it written down and. So that I know exactly when it's due, when we have to have our response by, I make sure that the sellers know those dates, you know, and to really track that also. So, yeah, you got to keep on top of things because it can cost you big time if you miss that date.
Yeah, it's critical, very, very critical. Now, I would like to go back and maybe talk about your past a little bit.
Sure.
Did you grow up here in Indiana? Or
I grew up in Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Nice little community. It was a great place to grow up. I visit frequently and it's changed quite a bit, but it's a nice place to work. My very first job was detasseling corn.
You know what? There's a lot of people in Indiana that was their first job.
You know, and I didn't realize how prevalent it was until, you know, when Facebook first came out and you got in touch with all your old high school friends, and that was one of the biggest subjects. Yeah, I did detasseling of corn, and I did that up and through till I was ready to go to college. So.
Wow. And that's, I never did it. But that's a lot. That's hard work.
It is very hard work. But you know, at the end, you got like $200 or $300, and wow, you are loaded.
You could have a good year in school.
Of course, prices were different then.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, my sister-in-law did it. She hated. I mean, the first few days was, you know, as anything, hard because you aren't used to it. And I guess, well, you have allergies, right?
So I have allergies, and I'm a redhead, so I have that next to dead coloring, and you know. And those days you didn't wear, there wasn't sunscreen.
Right.
So you wore long sleeves and all that fun stuff. Yeah, so,
which kept you nice and cool.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Right in the sun. And then from Crawfordsville, did you come right to Indianapolis, or how'd you end up here?
Yeah, I went to school. It was Indiana Central at the time.
Oh, okay.
I went there, and so I had a good time there. And then got married, had kids, and finished. I got a degree in business communications later on, and that's how I developed my training and development company.
Okay, so. Awesome. Well, after the break, we'll talk more with Deb Taylor about her business and about what really separates her from the vast majority of real estate agents out there. If you have any questions or would like to get a hold of us, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And Deb, if they need to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
317-523-9057 or Deb at homewithbdh.com.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rick Rickma.
And I'm Ian Arnold, and we're both with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And we're the hard-working mortgage guys.
That we are, or at least try to be. All right, so if you did miss the first 15, 20 minutes of listening to Deb talk about how her company is a little different and makes her such a great realtor, catch us at Indy's Real Estate Gurus podcast. Or if you have any questions for Deb, what would be a good number for them to reach you at?
317-523-9057.
All right, and now it is time for Question of the Week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group, where we fit your mortgage to fit your needs. Contact us today to get a free mortgage plan. Go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That is hardworkingmortgageguys.com. So the question we like to ask everybody, Deb, what was your first car?
It was a Dodge Dart Swinger.
A
yellow.
Swinger. yellow.
Yep, I called it the banana. But yep, they saw me through college, and so.
That was a great car.
It was a great car. You know, but you had to do things like roll your window down by yourself, and it didn't have air conditioning. It had vents that you open up the little doors, so.
So did your parents get yellow just so you were more, people would see you on the street?
I think it had more to do with the price than what was available.
Okay.
See, my first car, my parents had a Gremlin. It was yellow. And then the first vehicle I bought was a yellow Jeep. At the time, they were called CJ5s, but what everybody thinks of as a
Gremlin. It's a fun color.
It's a fun color, and it's what a great car, though. A Dart Swinger, that was a cool car.
A Dodge Dart Swinger, yeah. Yeah. That really was the name of it. My husband didn't believe me, and I Googled it.
Oh, I know.
And showed him. See, it did exist.
Yeah, I knew it was a real name of a car. That's what they called it. Yeah, that was a great car.
I feel like the oddball. Never had a yellow car.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah, you are the oddball. But
yes.
Okay.
All right. So we were going through about everything with you about how your company and how you got into it and everything. So. Let's get into the little more fun thing.
Okay.
So when you're not selling homes, what do people catch you doing? What's your hobbies?
Our family is really the number one. We enjoy, we have 7 grandkids.
Wow, that's awesome.
So,
congratulations.
Yes. And, life just kind of rolls around our family being together. We put it in a pool because the grandkids are getting older. So, we wanted to bribe them.
Yeah.
We're big into bribery to keep them coming back to grandma and papa. So, yes, we put that in, and we've had a lot of fun with that. And then boating, we go out in the boat and, pull the kids and things. And so it's almost everything revolves around our family. We're very close-knit. And
are you guys adopting other grandkids? Because I need an adoption.
Well, it sounds like she's got lots of bribes for the kids. That sounds like a...
The name of our boat is Grandkid Bait.
That's awesome. Do you have a lake home, or is it?
No. We like to go to Lake Minnesinawa, and after you learn how to say it, it's great.
Where is that at?
It's up by Peru. It's a nice, beautiful lake. It's usually not a lot of traffic. So, although this year we're going to try to come home a little bit closer to one of the reservoirs, so whichever one we can get in.
Yeah, the reservoirs can be fairly busy.
Yes, they are.
Especially, I don't have a boat, but it just seems like when you go by Geist, there's almost no water. It's all boats side by side.
Yeah.
It seems like at times.
So I think we're going to try Morse.
Yeah, I would guess that would be I don't know, but it seems like it would be a better, as long as Morse seems like at times it gets low on water.
Well, that could be true with any of them.
Yeah, I guess they dump it.
So, but yeah, we have a lot of fun with our grandkids, whether we're doing that or, you know, at the pool. We do, you know, Christmas is big events, you know, and when we get together, you know, what's really funny, a lot of people, my friends my age are all wanting to downsize, and they said, are you going to downsize? I said, are you kidding me? There's almost 20 of us when we're all together.
And you actually have a daughter-in-law who works with you.
I do, Casey, and she's... she takes the same approach I do. It's very personal. She takes really good care of all of her clients.
So you've trained her well.
I have, yes. And that, you know, we kind of kid about that. But, you know, I always remind her, I said, look, this is it's an honor to help people with this process. Because, again, it's the biggest investment most people make. And they need to make sure that they're being handled correctly and, you know, with everything that we can give them.
Well, I think, to me, calling yourself a boutique real estate brokerage, the boutique kind of says something about the type of experience you're likely to have.
Yes. I'm not a transactional real estate agent. I mean, my clients become our friends. You know, you talked about adopting you. Well, that's how my clients are, and that's how Casey's clients are. I mean, we can give them a lot of personal care, you know, and get them through whatever we need to get through, whatever obstacle we're facing. You know, whether it's a down market, an up market, multiple offers, struggling to get offers, what are we going to do? And we take a very team approach. So if I'm helping you sell your house, it's not going to be just me. I'm not just going to put a sign in the yard. I'm going to give you specific things to do and how to share and so forth, so that we are working as a team. We're going to talk every week.
You mean a family. You're going to work as a family.
That's right.
That's how your company
sounds
like.
Very much so, yes. So...
go ahead.
Oh, so normally, where do you, if somebody wanted to meet with you, do you guys just meet at a local coffee place? Or I know people selling homes, usually you want to meet them at their home.
Right. If I'm meeting buyers, it's nice to interview them ahead of time to save me from sending them, because I personally am going to look at all the homes I send you. I just don't sign you up and put you on a mailer. I'm going to look at the homes and see, does it kind of match what we say? So I need to get to know you. What is important to you? What do you really want? Explain the market, whether it's up, down, or like it was, we just experienced, crazy, what to expect, because I want them to know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And so explaining it ahead of time helps rather than, well, gee, I didn't know there was going to be 15 other people putting offers in on the same home. You know, explaining what we're up against. If it's a seller, they need to know, hey, you know, you're not going to get multiple offers right now. We're going to price it fairly. We're going to get the most that we can out of it. But it's don't expect this, and it might be on the market longer than an hour.
So what areas do you, in around Indianapolis, do you service the most?
I would say the Northwest the most. But, you know, you go where your clients are and where your referrals are. So I've sold in Greenwood. Since I went to school there and, you know, first part of my life there, I know the Greenwood area very well, the South Side. So there's things like that. And also, I've got some younger clients who want to be downtown. So you learn your market. Now, obviously, I sell more in this Northwest, area, but...
I mean, that's a nice thing about Indianapolis. I mean, you can basically be anywhere in roughly 30, 40 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, I understand if you don't want to drive all the way to Fort Wayne every day to show houses.
Yes.
But, but especially around this area. I mean, I live in McCordsville, and I can get from there to here in about 40 minutes, and we're in Carmel.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not too far of a drive to show.
That's
homes.
A great area, McCourtsville. Yeah. Oh, it's yeah, really an up-and-coming area right now.
It's so. Blowing up like crazy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, I did actually help someone because as a broker, you're licensed for the whole state. And I had a client that I've helped them with three or four homes. And she was moving to Evansville, and she did not want to buy a house without me, and I did go down. That was much harder because of the way the markets are, but I got the brokerages to cooperate with me, and we got it done. So great little house, but I don't do that for everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What you just said is what I found. All of the guru real estate agents try to avoid that, but sometimes you have no choice because your client wants you to do it, and you just have no choice. You have to do it.
Exactly. She didn't have any family or, you know, any friends. And she, you know, the trust factor was there with me. And I was honored to do that. So
yeah, that's fantastic. And knowing you, you learned the market, I'm guessing, and you knew the market very well. And so she was well served by having you with her.
Yes. The hardest part was getting, you know, the right inspectors. You know, that was the hardest part. But I was able to call on some brokerage companies that I knew that I could get referrals from.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a little bit different approach where here I've got lots of, you know, resources and trusted resources. But there I had to rely on other people, but I went through, you know, a good brokerage company for that.
Right. So you know how to get
yes
the information you need to help your client out. And sometimes that person just wants to work with you. And as much as you would like to, you know, you don't think you're going to be able to serve them as well as you could if they were here. Sometimes you have no choice and you do it. And I'm sure they were happy, very happy.
They were. It would be much harder to try to sell a home. I don't think I would sign up for that because I couldn't give them the services that they needed. But I would guide them through hiring a right one.
Right. Yeah. So you could. And I think that's part of what sets you apart is that it's a small boutique firm. So it's you really cater directly to people.
Yes.
And you're able to help them out. We'll continue on with the podcast, but we are at the end of the radio show. We're just about. If you need to get a hold of us or would like to talk to Ian or I, just go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Deb, if they needed to contact you about real estate, how would they do that?
My number is 317-523-9057 or deb@homewithbdh.com, which is Black Diamond Homes.
Oh, is that what it stands for? Black,
yes.
You know what? I think I remember seeing the logo.
Yes, Black Diamond Homes.
Black Diamond Homes. Are you a skier?
I am not, but, I would look more like the Agony of Defeat, and I know you won't know what that is, but I know you do. But it means an expert hill and, you know, the expertise level, and that's where we're
makes
at.
Total sense. Well, join us at Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Yep, the podcast, and I'll have it bookmarked.
Indy's Real Estate Gurus.